Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 360. Sportsnet.ca/590. And Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's our 3 o'clock hour. Thanks for finding us. Brady and Walker. Greg Brady, usually with Andrew Walker. He's in absentia at Ford Field watching the carnage. By the way, this is from Rocky IV. Everybody knows that. Burning Heart by Survivor. Unpopular hot music take from 30 years ago. It's a better song than Eye of the Tiger. It is, and we know it. By the way, Rocky IV came out in ninth grade. And I went 2 days in a row. I've gone to see two movies in a row, 2 days in a row, twice. And one was Batman in 1989. And the other was Rocky IV. No word of a lie. Went Thursday night. It probably came out Wednesday. Went the Thursday night after some football after school. And went again Friday night. I also regrettably went to see Rocky V on its Friday opening night in 1990. That was a mistake. Tommy Morrison. But I bring that up because Creed is getting unbelievable reviews, isn't it? Creed is very, very good, according to some people. Our number, by the way, 416-870-0590, star 590. I would take a Creed movie review on the air, and you'll have to tell me what Rockies it's better than and what Rockies it's worse than. On Sportsnet at 4 o'clock, we're going to talk about this game, Panthers-Cowboys. Antonio Freeman coming up in 8 minutes as well. Packers receiver, not in the Hall of Fame, but well thought of. He's in the Packers Hall of Fame. And Brett Favre will have his jersey, his number 4, retired tonight. This has been a long time coming. Some acrimony between the Packers and Brett Favre with his departure. A lot of fake retirements, real retirements followed by fake retirements, and then obviously playing for the Jets and then the rival Vikings. The Jets Favre year is the weirdest year, but that of course was the Jen Sturger year that became so prominent with cell phone pictures, and it made us all a lot more responsible on our cell phones, didn't it? No, I can see by your face. No. Okay. By the way, Thanksgiving game right now, 38-7 for the Detroit Lions over the Philadelphia Eagles. They were talking a few years ago, before we get into this Panthers Cowboys game, there's always talk of taking the Thanksgiving game away from the Lions. Like, you only get 3 games. Why? Monday's going to come around after a busy weekend of NFL, and you have a great Sunday game with so much drama. New England and Denver, right? Brock Osweiler's second start. He went into the wind in Chicago, tough defense, cold weather, and was 20-27. Couple sacks, yeah, a few sacks, as a matter of fact. Chicago's got a good pass rush and have showed it in the last 5 or 6 games. They'll chase Aaron Rodgers around tonight, and he'll probably get away. But no picks, no fumbles. 20-27. Did the job. Did enough. His second touchdown was fantastic. His first one was mostly yards after catch stuff, right, to Demaryius Thomas. But they were talking about taking the Thanksgiving game away because of games like this Monday night game, Baltimore-Cleveland. Nobody wants to watch the Ravens and the Browns. There's no Joe Flacco, and there isn't even any Johnny Manziel now. But we have great game Sunday, bad game Monday. So they talked about, and I don't know that it ever became a reality, but you can imagine. Let me run down the Lions Thanksgivings from 2012 backwards. Really close 34-31 loss to the Houston Texans. That's Matt Schaub, J.J. Watt, that team, playoff team that year. And if you might remember, that's the game Jim Schwartz tried to challenge a scoring play to review. And every scoring play gets reviewed. So he got a basically a delay of game penalty. It was sort of Chris Webber timeout-esque. And admitted after the game he knew he blew it. He blew the rule. Green Bay beat the Lions the year before 27-15. So listen to these score lines. 45-24 Patriots beating the Lions at Ford Field. 34-12 Packers. 47-10 Titans in 2008 with Kerry Collins. 37-26. 27-10. That was when Joey Harrington came back and beat the Lions. We're not done yet. Falcons 27, Lions 7. Colts 41, Lions 9. Peyton Manning in his prime. What are you going to do? So for about 9 years in a row, the Lions just didn't show up. Right? 65,000 people come to the game, millions watching on TV, and it just gave everybody indigestion. and they're pounding Philadelphia right now, 38-7. They'll never move the early game from Detroit. And the Lions will never have cheerleaders. And they'll never move the late game from Dallas. That's not going to happen. So that brings us to the Dallas game. 38-7 Lions on Sportsnet, by the way. And you may be headed somewhere as quickly as you can to watch Carolina-Dallas later, which should be a much more competitive game than this particular one. It's a really interesting scenario for the Panthers. And it might even be a coming-of-age game for Cam Newton. Because all this football happens on Sunday, and it's really tough to absorb all of it. Walker had the idea the other day, and I looked at him, and I'm like, you do have a lot of free time, young fella. And his idea was to PVR every NFL game and watch them, like cutting out the commercials. And I will say, it's the best sporting event to PVR and catch up on. When my kids were a lot younger, I didn't mind the late start times with NFL games because I needed time to put that. 7 is too early. There's still things happening. There's things being thrown down the stairs. There's food to clean up. There's dishes to do. There's all that stuff, you know, that makes you a domesticated person. But 8:30 and 8:40 starts worked for me. Even when doing mornings, I didn't mind them because you can catch up in a big hurry. NFL, boom, lots of commercials. Isn't that great when they come back for one kickoff and then go right back to 4 minutes of commercials? That happens. So you PVR your way right through them. But the thought process here with Carolina is, I don't think enough of us have seen how good they are because there's a lot of 1 o'clock starts. Not a lot of people, even though they made the playoffs last year and won a playoff game, they're not really marquee. Cam Newton's a superstar and wouldn't talk about him for MVP. That team was 3-8-1 last year. And then their quarterback gets into a car accident and can't play for a week. So they start Jimmy Clausen. Okay, and then they win a game. They win a game. And Newton comes back, wins the next three. They're playing an Arizona team without Carson Palmer and can't move the ball. I think the punter in the Cardinals game, Cardinals-Panthers playoff game, punted 13 times. It was something ridiculous like that. Remember that like it was yesterday. Then they go to Seattle. They're going to lose to Russell Wilson and that Seahawks defense. But it was the start of the Seahawks defense starting to get beat up a little bit. Carolina's a really, really good team. And they're an underdog in about an hour's time, again, on Sportsnet, against the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that's rather ludicrous. I know it's ludicrous. And we had Randall the handle on earlier, and he said the right thing. Vegas is trying to get you to an equal number to bet on either side of the game. Okay? They take a little bit of a squeeze from your winning bet, right? You get paid back not quite as much as double your money on the spread, and they make money. They need to keep that line even. So it meant that there were a lot of people, and I can't tell how much of it is people really liking the Cowboys because Tony Romo's back. I'm here to tell you, I don't think the Cowboys are a very good team. I think Tony Romo makes a big difference to them. Yes, of course, he's really good. But I don't think they're a very good team. I think their offensive line is in shambles. They can't run the ball. They couldn't run the ball very well with Brandon Whedon or Matt Castle. But the defense hung around in games. They couldn't get first downs. The defense is okay. They lost Orlando Scandrick earlier in the year. I don't think it's a very good team. I think it's an average NFL team. Would they be 8-2 with Tony Romo? No, they wouldn't. But they'd be 5-5. I think that's reasonable. I think he'd have won seven in a row, that they lost without him. But I think Carolina's getting incredibly disrespected here. And I'm never one to tell you, this isn't a betting show. But I'm here to tell you, I think Carolina is a fantastic bet in a few minutes' time, if you're headed to your local convenience store and feel like it. Tony Romo, by the way, only a quarterback in NFL history. Great stat from producer J.D. Bunkus to beat multiple 9-0 teams. He beat Peyton Manning's Colts in 06. He beat Drew Brees' Saints in the 09 year. Remember when Indianapolis and New Orleans both went 12-0, I want to say 13-0 out of the gate? And it was one of those rare years. We don't have them that often where the one seeds meet in the Super Bowl. One seed from the AFC meets one seed from the NFC, but that was the year it happened with New Orleans. Now, we did last year with New England and Seattle, but it's incredibly unusual. It's happened about four times in the last 15, 16 years because you get Aaron Rodgers-type years. Packers were a wild card. Both times the Ravens have gone to the Super Bowl, wild card. Eli Manning's teams, wild card, or at least playing in the first weekend of the NFL. They didn't have a bye week because Eli Manning had to win three games on the road both years. I think one of the years he beat Atlanta at home. But that's a little bit of a minutia for you. After 3:30, we'll have more on this Blue Jays David Price thing with Mike Wilner coming up in a little bit. There is also just into our newsroom, Jahlil Okafor of the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, they lost again last night. Really close game to the Boston Celtics. I've tended to tweet out, instead of tweeting out the word underutilized, because I'm not. It's a three-hour show. It's enough. Don't give me 3.5 or 4 hours. But I've been tending to tweet out possible Philadelphia 76ers wins, when they might be coming. And I felt really good last night before the game, and it's one of those times when I'm saying this. You're going to have to trust me on this because I'm wrong a lot. I felt like Philadelphia might win last night. Boston was playing on a back-to-back, Sixers at Celtics. Boston was horrible the night before. And all of a sudden, I look, and they beat up Boston in the second quarter, outscore them 23-14. And so they're up 7 at the half. Sixers up 7 at the half at TD Bank Garden ahead of the Celtics. And I'm like, this might be the night. Well, they got outscored 27-18 in the fourth quarter, had the ball in their possession, down 1 point with under a minute to go, couldn't do it. But there's video online of the Sixers rookie Jahlil Okafor, and it just surfaced. And we'll try and post it if we can, because it's public record, and there could be charges. But he got into it at a bar last night. What did we say on the show yesterday? Busiest bar night in the United States. It's the busiest travel day. See the film Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and it's the busiest bar night as well. And it's busy for Rocky movies. Three things. Busy bar night, busy travel day, busy Rocky movie day. But Jahlil Okafor, the star rookie out of Duke for the Sixers, got into it with somebody at a bar last night. There's a video of him punching somebody after being heckled, apparently, which is going to happen. Heckling happens in person, online, et cetera, et cetera. But Jahlil Okafor apparently lost it last night. We're looking to find out more about that. Antonio Freeman in just a little bit. Brett Favre's a really interesting guy to analyze. And we'll ask, Antonio might be, you know how you just have biases, right? You have biases about where you live, the street. My kids go to the best school. Well, it may not be the best school, but you like it. You don't want them to go to any other school. I live on the best street, have the best neighbors. They're probably pretty good. They're probably pretty helpful. Mine are the best. I'm biased. You'll say, no, wait, my neighbors are better. No, they're not. Not to me, but to you, they are. So Antonio Freeman may not be able to lay it out there with Brett Favre. But think about the transition also from Favre to Rodgers. You don't get much time in the NFL to learn these days. We got a lot of quarterbacks who fall by the wayside. Blaine Gabbert's getting a second chance to be a starter only because Colin Kaepernick has screwed up so badly and is injured as well right now. But it hasn't gone like Colin Kaepernick's downfall is the most shocking downfall to me because I thought he could play. I thought we'd be talking about him like top five, top six quarterbacks. I know there's people that have issues with Kaepernick's immaturity, but I had no issues with his game. Watching those playoff games, one at Lambeau, one at not a Candlestick. It must have been in the new place. Maybe it was Candlestick. And watching him demolish Green Bay, like run that read option, no answer for it. Zero, none. You know how coaches make halftime adjustments? Nothing they could do. Zero they could do to contain Colin Kaepernick. And he's got a gun for an arm, a laser for an arm. He's a great thrower. So I don't know what happened to Colin Kaepernick. But I know this. He got a year and a little bit of time to watch Alex Smith play. And Alex Smith's not great, but you need the time. Okay? Donovan McNabb was behind a starter. I think it was Rodney Pete in Philadelphia for at least half a season. Dante Culpepper was pushed into action after several games, but it wasn't right away in week one. But think about the laundry list of guys, and I don't think it's getting harder to be a young quarterback in the NFL because there's expectations and there's pressure, and you better throw for 300 yards, and you better interceptions are few and far between right now. What's down in the league? Interceptions. What's up? Touchdowns and yardage. We know all that. So Antonio Freeman may have some thoughts on Brett Favre, who's first in passing yards, second in touchdowns, but guess what he is in passing yards per game among career quarterbacks? 14th. Passing yards is almost an irrelevant stat now. I noted the other day, about a week and a half ago, Johnny Manziel, in the 30-9 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, had 338 yards. Brett Favre's average, 241 yards a game. Brett Favre was the old gunslinger, right? Lots of yards, lots of throws. Take the mistakes, take the good with the bad. 241 yards. So that means for every 300-yard game, Brett Favre would throw 180 yards. If a star quarterback threw for 180 yards now, You'd assume he threw 11 passes. You'd assume he was Tom Brady game manager from 2001. What did Brady throw against the Bills in week two? 526 yards, 58 throws. I mean, what Matt Stafford's doing even today, 45-7 Lions against the Philadelphia Eagles. 38 throws, 27 completions, 337 yards, and 5 touchdowns. So Antonio Freeman coming up in a little bit. Yesterday at the Grey Cup, Chris Jones is the head coach of the Edmonton Eskimos, and Rick Campbell, who's the son of Hugh Campbell, like that's CFL, that's salad days for me. That's glory years, watching CFL. I heard Warren Moon on a national show in the States a couple days ago, and I'm like, I just love hearing Warren Moon. I think about those Eskimos Grey Cups and how good they were and how dominant they were. With us tomorrow, fantastic. Warren Moon's on Brady and Walker tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour. And Rick Campbell had this quote. Now, Jim Hunt, who worked for years with Bob McCown, people who love this radio station, and a lot of you love it and love the history of it, and I love it too. I love the history of it. Know that Jim Hunt was Bob McCown's partner for many, many years. And he started asking at the Grey Cup, every year he covered it, what are the coaches' thoughts on their players having sex before Sunday's game? Now, I'm assuming he means, we can assume shaky meant the Saturday night before. I would assume not at 4 p.m., you know, before warmups, because it's a leg strength issue. And a lot of coaches have hemmed and hawed, and a lot of coaches get red-faced and a little bit embarrassed. You can't tell grown men what to do. You're not a high school hockey coach. You're not worried about girls in rooms and booze and cases of beer piling up. You're just worried about, you know, you're worried about your guys being ready to play. They're adults. They're going to have a good time. It's the Grey Cup. It's the Super Bowl. It's the Olympics. You only get to experience these things maybe once in your life. You're not sure, right? But maybe the best answer ever to the are your players going to have sex and what are you going to do about a question at the Grey Cup from Rick Campbell, the Ottawa Red Blacks head coach. I'm now pulling harder, no pun intended, for Ottawa to win this game on Sunday. Here he is.
Well, it's my job to put guys in the best position to have success, whether that's on or off the field. So I guess I'm going to give advice more than a policy. And this would probably apply to most of our players and coaches, is that, and it mirrors our football team this year, is that the odds aren't good and no one gave you much of a chance. But if you pay attention to detail and you execute and you do it with zest and enthusiasm, anything can happen.
That's fantastic. Like there's a lot of different ways he could have gone. His quarterback is 41 years old. I'm in my early 40s. And as much as I try and maintain a certain level of fitness, not everything operates like it did when it was 23, when you were 23. Not everything does. So there's tricks to this to some extent. It's a funny thing because even when you're younger, you're a little more, how did Rick Campbell put it? Full of zest and enthusiasm. You do think about things like that. If you're running a 10K, not the night before. Now, are you taking it too far? If you're a weekend warrior and you have a slow pitch tournament, yes, you are. Relax. I mean, not that your opportunities are bountiful and plentiful, but I would think at a certain point you're asking yourself, am I really turning this down because I'm playing with locals yokels tomorrow in the D division of slow pitch or old timer hockey? Now, our technical director, the great Lance Kennedy's run marathons. We don't want to ask. I would think the night before he's in bed, he's not eating, like he's carb loading. Things are going into his body to be ready for the 26-mile run. I think that's a big distinction to make by Rick Campbell there. So I'm pulling even more for Ottawa. Mike Wilner after 3:30 will join us, Blue Jays broadcaster, host of Jays Talk. We'll ask him about the David Price marketplace. There's been a lot out there about whether or not David Price is getting and his agent are going to field the offers. Because I think contract, when something takes a while, you're like your house being sold. You're wondering, well, are they getting the offers that they necessarily wanted? Maybe you're just waiting for the right offer or the right people to strike a deal with. Because free agency is really slow in baseball. I know there's people that always kind of laugh. If you like all the sports, you look at this madness that is hockey on July 1 or July 5th, like it was a couple years ago. after the short season, and you look at what the NBA is even. There's an open courtship very early on. Even the NFL moves quickly, man. You get to be, remember they used to call it Plan B free agency in the NFL. You get to be a free agent really quickly in the NFL. You're going to get calls, and you're going to make trips. I think Reggie White did this famously. I think he visited the late Reggie White. He had that regrettable thing in Wisconsin where he talked about how whites are different than blacks and Asians and whatnot. I think the Asian quote was they can turn a television into a watch. Like it was very wrong and xenophobic. And I'm also thinking, wouldn't you rather have a TV than a watch? But Reggie White took a trip one day, and I think he went to four NFL cities in one day. You'll see that. That's not how baseball works. Now, Max Scherzer didn't sign until a week and a half before the Super Bowl last year. And even John Lester, I think, was about a week before Christmas. Remember that scene in Moneyball? Speaking of the Oakland A's, because Lester played for Oakland after the trade from Boston. And it's Chris Pratt, right? Guardians of the Galaxy, Jurassic World, and he's gets visited by Billy Bean and one of his coaches, and it's Christmas time. That's generally how it works. Like, you shouldn't be worried, even though the Jays were very, very quick in 92 and 93. Winfield, Morris, Molitor, they all were really quick moves in off seasons. Really fast, quick moves in off seasons. I wouldn't necessarily think and be concerned that the Jays haven't done anything because nobody else is doing anything. But we'll talk to Mike about that to some extent, because there's no question in my mind when I think about free agency and I go over the names and numbers, January signings aren't that unusual. Not in the least. Prince Fielder was a very, very late signing, and people are like, what's wrong? Why isn't this happening? We're very pleased to be joined by our next guest tonight, a special night at Lambeau Field, and he's been part of many special days and nights there. At Lambeau Field, number four gets retired. One of the greats of all time, Brett Favre, will be honored at halftime of what should be, it could be colder. We always know it could be colder at Lambeau Field for Bears-Packers. One of his favorite targets and a fantastic Green Bay Packer for the 8 seasons he played there is Antonio Freeman. He joins us now on Brady and Walker, coast to coast on Sportsnet 360. Antonio, thanks for taking the time to do this. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
How is everything in your world and watching the Packers this year? Kind of a return to form last week. You must have been pleased to see a big bounce back for Aaron Rodgers and the offense after the previous 3 weeks.
Oh yeah, it was definitely a thrill to watch him come back. You know, everybody doesn't realize that life is full of adversity. There's ups and downs, and there's never any smooth sailing unless you're the Patriots or the Panthers right about now. But you know, there are going to be some times where guys don't play well. There's going to be games that teams lose that they had every opportunity to win. And, you know, that's why sports is sports. And that's why they made the movie Any Given Sunday, because the worst team can play like the best team and the best team can play like the worst team on any given Sunday. You know, right now we're right here in Green Bay at the Radisson Hotel, just enjoying some fraternity time with a lot of the former players that played with Brett Favre. We've got about 30 different former players from those championship teams, and just going to celebrate all the achievements of Favre and also the Green Bay Packers.
It was really something to watch your group play, and we'll talk a lot about that. You played a lot of playoff games with this team. Getting to the playoffs isn't easy. It's the hardest. Baseball's close, but it's a really hard thing to get through those 16 games. And like you said, be on top of it week after week. How do teams stay together when they do face that adversity? 2 games lost in a row, 3 games lost in a row. Sometimes it's about who you play, when you play them. Night game, is the other team on a roll as well? There's so much situational with the schedule because you don't see everybody.
Well, you get to see those guys every day at practice. You know, you get to see those guys through tough times, like training camp when there's nobody else around. You have 2 practices a day. You're missing your family, and you're missing your wife or a significant other and your friends and your old neighborhood and just the fun things you used to do. So you know that everybody in that locker room is battle-tested because you know everyone in that locker room has gone through the same exact thing. So when you go through those dark places and you go through those low points in the season, you realize and it really rises to the point that you realize we got a brotherhood here. If I'm down, my brother's going to pick me up. My brother's not going to let me stay down because we all want to win. So it's kind of we're in this thing together. We started in the beginning of it, and we're going to ride it until the end. And that's how you know, because you know the skill set, the character, the fight. You know that in each individual on that team just from being around them and going through the battle together.
Antonio Freeman, our guest, Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers, multi-time Pro Bowler as well. We've talked before, Antonio, about Brett's, a lot of people have, about Brett's improvisational skills, changing plays, audibling, even, you know, the check down wasn't exactly for him. He always wanted the big strike, and you were one of the best guys to throw it to. How much did you change in a given play? Because hockey and baseball, there's no script, there's no play. Even basketball, there's a lot of moving parts. But you'd say, I know what I'm doing on this play, but you'd have a sense, this isn't going to work. I can do something different and get open for Brett.
Those things go to film study. You see guys on the field, but you don't really see the time that goes into film study and isolated meetings between quarterbacks and wide receivers, isolated meetings between quarterbacks and offensive linemen. Those are the crucial times. And when you're able to have those meetings in the facility and have an iconic quarterback that might say, hey, let's all meet up at my house. Mm-hmm. Let's go over some third down looks. Hey, look, guys, let's go out to dinner. And afterwards, you know, let's open a can of film and watch the first 15 plays from last week. And those are the things that brought us together, is the love and respect that we have for him and his leadership. Because he was a film rat. He watched a bunch of film even before we got there most mornings. So part of that just rubbed off on us and made us all evolve into a better team, a better machine.
Antonio Freeman, kind enough to join us. Brady and Walker, Cross Country, Sportsnet 360, right here in Toronto, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Brett Favre getting his number retired tonight. When you think about that group and how special it was, and you had great players on defense, I talked about Reggie White a little bit ago, the late great Reggie White. Do you look and say, there could have been that second Super Bowl, there could have been three, or do you look and say, there's a lot of great ones, a lot of examples of the Dan Marinos of the world who got to one as a youngster, never could get back again. Jim Kelly goes 4 years in a row, and none of those Buffalo Bills teams, lots of Hall of Famers, none of them could even win one. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we're all sitting here, like I said, about 30 guys who played during that era, defensive guys, offensive guys, Frank Winters, Tremera Brooks, Derek Mays, Bernardo Williams, you know, just a bunch of guys that, like I said, yeah, Mike Pryor, just a bunch of guys who went through that battle with us. And, you know, we're all sitting around. We're still talking about that Denver game and just how we had chances to win. And, you know, was it our poor play or was it Coach Holmgren about to take a job in Seattle? You know, we just had those conversations. We talk about the Terrell Owens catch. Mm-hmm. That we should have won that game and sent us home. And, you know, the great thing is we aren't the Buffalo Bills. We do have a Super Bowl to celebrate. We do have Super Bowl caliber times that we can always share together as well. So, you think about the what-ifs and, maybes, but at this point in time when the game gets away from us and we all go our separate ways and become family people, we just enjoy these moments.
Antonio Freeman, our guest, how did you feel watching and did you get a good view of it? You're getting ready to go back on the field in that Patriots Super Bowl. They've just scored and they're getting closer. It's 27-21. And you get the Desmond Howard 99-yard kickoff return. Like, offensive players are ready to go. You want to see where the ball is. You want to see where the field position is. And then all of a sudden, you're sitting again for a while. But, man, you get a two-point conversion as well. And now you're up 14 instead of 6. Tell me how that felt in that game, biggest game of your life.
You really don't think about that. You just try to execute the next play. And you really don't think about point spreads or you're just really focused on how can I be better the next play. You know, it's just like an 11-man thing that has to work. You know, everyone has to work together in unison. But whenever you can get a lead by 14 in the Super Bowl and then you have one of your best players and one of the most iconic figures on our team, Reggie White, then go down and lay in three sacks on the opposing quarterback just to close out what was not only a Super Bowl, but a great ride for him as well. So, I mean, in the final clips was just to see Reggie White taking that trophy and running around that stadium with it like a little kid at Christmas. And we knew that's one of the things that drove us when we got here, is our desire to bring one of the greatest players ever, a Super Bowl. So that really, you know, said a lot about our situation as a team and our leadership.
Tell me about the Bears rivalry. I feel like you guys won a lot more
There's
games
no
against
rivalry.
Them.
I won't even during my in my era there was no rivalry.
That's what I mean.
During this new team's time, there's no era. There was definitely a rivalry in the 80s. We just talked about that, Robert Brooks and myself, just about the losing season. So how the Bears had our number and how everyone still hypes up the Bears Packers. But, hey, we got their number pretty much if you look at the numbers over the last 20 years. But, you know, it's just one of those inner state things where there's bragging rights and there's people on different borders that reside in the opposing city. So there's always bragging rights and things like that.
Like, would you talk about with the players today in their honoring Brett? San Francisco and Dallas were almost bigger rivals. What a massive regular season game that always was. You'd always meet those two teams in the playoffs. Those were the three great franchises when you were at your best, the Packers, the Cowboys, the Niners, right?
But you got to think, you know, back then, still nothing? Back then, you know, there wasn't social media. So, hey, if we lost to Dallas, if we lost to San Francisco, they'd have to write us a letter. And it would take 4 to 5 days to get to us. But real taunting. You know, nowadays it's social media. It's all the fans. You can represent your fanism and your whatever team you like. And it's instant now, you know. So back then you had the sister state right across the state from you. Mm. It was more intense. We might see somebody at the grocery store, at work the next day, at school the next day. So it was a more personal situation, more than the rivals that we had trying to overcome those losses to the Packers and Cowboys and to the San Francisco. That's what our dilemma was. We didn't look at those as rivalries. We just looked at those as teams that we needed to get past to get to our ultimate goal.
10 playoff touchdowns for Antonio Freeman, a ton of playoff wins. One last question before you go. My partner, Andrew, is a huge Packers fan, but here's what he's doing today, and I want you to tell me if thumbs up, thumbs down. I don't think it's acceptable, but you tell me if I'm being too harsh. He's at the Lions-Eagles game, and he's wearing a Lions jersey just to fit in and be a populist. I think this is extremely bad form if he's a lifetime Packers fan. Am I right about this or not?
Just don't take pictures, buddy. Don't post it on social media, and you'll be okay. No one will ever know. So, you know, like I said, that's the difference between yesteryear and today, social networking. Hey, if you don't pose in any pictures and you don't jump in anybody's picture, you might be able to get back home safely, take that jersey off, and pretend like it never happened.
Yeah, I know. He's got it's a risk reward thing. I'm worried. There's people out there with Antonio Freeman Eagles jerseys, though. I know you know that, even though things aren't going well for that team right now. They remember you there having a cup of coffee there. We can't thank you enough. You were a hell of a player for Brett, hell of a target, and it's going to be a really, really fun night to watch all you guys, all you guys that were great mid-90s Packers be part of this. Thanks for doing this for us today.
Thanks for having me.
Antonio Freeman joining us on Brady and Walker. That was fantastic. Some great stuff about the current Packers, but also it's amazing. We all think we know what a rivalry is. So I'm setting him up for Packers-Bears. It's tonight. Tell me about it. And no, there was only the Packers in that division. Don't forget, Tampa Bay didn't get out of that division until notably later in, I want to say, around 99 or 2000. But Detroit post-Barry, right? Bad team. Packers handled them in the playoffs every chance they got. Sterling Sharp play wide open. Minnesota, not good. The Bears, not very good. Not very good in the mid-90s. So that Green Bay team was dominant, and they looked at Dallas, San Francisco, and those were the teams they had to beat. What's the marketplace for David Price? Is it underwhelming or just David Price is taking his time? We ask Mike Wilner next. It's Brady and Walker. Two more things to come as well. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more Brady and Walker. On your TV at Sportsnet 360. Online at sportsnet.ca/590. And on your radio at Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Solo again tomorrow. Tomorrow on the show, though, Warren Moon with plenty of Grey Cup memories. His Edmonton Eskimos playing in the Grey Cup Sunday against the Ottawa Red Blacks. Could have been one of the great upsets of all time. Wasn't it an Ottawa 5-11 team in November 81? And they got a huge lead on those dominant Eskimos teams. By the way, I did now witness, producer J.D. Bunkus alerted me to this, the Jahlil Okafor footage, the Sixers star rookie out of Duke, reportedly, well, he didn't reportedly, if the video is to be believed, got in a fight. There's only so much that Pixar technology can do. It's him. Jahlil Okafor gets in a fight outside a Boston club. Two things on it. You'll see the footage. I tweeted it out just now at BradyFan590. It looks like at times he's fighting more than one person. So there is that. And the second funniest thing is that the man yelled, "The 76ers suck." And that set off the altercation when, you know, stating a fact like water is wet is not cause for fisticuffs ever. And there's a random security company, like it just says it's a white car. You know how security cars look like cop cars? You can be driving at 11 p.m. at night or 4 a.m. You're like, oh, my God, this guy's coming up behind me. He's going to pull me over. He's a cop. It's not. It's like Fred Security. They have little lights and buzzers and stuff. And they don't have to be flashing, but you just see like the glare of the lights, like on your back taillights. And you're like, I'm in trouble. And it's not. It's Fred Security. By the way, I think Fred does a good job with their security. So there's a random security company there. Well, guys are wailing each other, including the number 3 overall draft pick in last year's NBA draft. So some problems for the Sixers to iron out. Mike Wilner is our friend and Blue Jays broadcaster, host of Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Do you enjoy American Thanksgiving? Do you like it? Do you cover an American-based sport. What do you think of it?
Well, I cover an American-based sport that really doesn't do anything at the end of November, It doesn't have much of an effect on me, I have to say. But it's cool that there's football on all day, and you get, you know, sports on Friday during the day as well. So I think that's the extent of my enjoying of U.S.
We're same generation. It's a great time to watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles again.
Sure.
It's a great time for Steve Martin to walk up to that Edie McClurg at the counter and drop all those F-bombs in front of your children. It's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a spectacular film.
It's the one scene that you can't get past for youngsters. It's like when they show it on AMC or whatever. That scene doesn't work without all the swearing. So,
I guess. I mean, they could they could snakes on a plane, right? With Sam Jackson saying, "Get these monkey fighting snakes off of this Monday to Friday plane."
So I haven't heard your perspective, if you will, on some of the David Price stuff. I just look and go. People have to realize Max Scherzer signed January 21st of last year, late for Prince Fielder. John Lester was a few days before Christmas. I know that people want urgency and resolution, and every fan of every team, Yankees, Red Sox included, wants to know what the roster looks like. But players take their time, and they're always going to in baseball.
Yeah, they are, because it serves them well to do that. I would be surprised if David Price doesn't sign at the winter meetings. They're in Nashville. He lives there, so I have a feeling that's going to be the deal. But, you know, people, it's funny, I did a pitch talks in London yesterday, and a lot of people were talking about this David Price thing. And you need to consider what the story is. And the truth is, when people hear something that they want to hear, they get really, really excited about it, and they think, okay, this is happening. And when they hear something they don't want to hear, then they dismiss it or don't believe it or whatever. Everybody wants to hear David Price loves Toronto, and it's true. David Price did love Toronto. He'll always cherish the time he was here, and he'll always like coming here, whether he's a Blue Jay or not. But what was the story that came out? The report was that the Blue Jays are at the top of David Price's list, and he wants to come back if the money's right. And that's a report, quote unquote, that can't ever be disproven. No matter what happens, whether David Price signs with the Blue Jays, whether he signs with the Cubs, Dodgers, whoever, the Red Sox, that guy can always say, well, yeah, but the Jays were his first choice. They just didn't come up with the money. And we'll never know what the Blue Jays offered.
No.
And, you know, so that's a story that anyone can put out there at any point in time ever and will never be wrong. So someone wants to make a name for themselves, it's not a bad way to do it.
Mike Wilner joining us, Brady and Walker. Would you buy any substantiation into thinking there maybe are going to be less suitors for Price than originally thought? Maybe the Dodgers say, listen, we got to make sure we get Greinke back. We can't. That's our priority. We know him. He's a known commodity. Would the Cubs say, it's expensive. It's 7 years. Arrieta and Lester, we're doing fine. We made the playoffs. We're on the rise as well. Is it possible there will be less teams pitching themselves to David Price than maybe in August and September? Not because of anything he did, but just situations.
It's possible, but I wouldn't bet on it. I would think that the Dodgers, Giants, Cubs, Red Sox, Yankees, Blue Jays, at the very least, will all be very much in on David Price. He's the best pitcher on the market, arguably. I mean, I don't know if you can quite flip a coin between him and Zach Greinke, but he's had success in the AL East. He's on a Hall of Fame track. There's not a lot of great pitching in free agency coming up the next couple of seasons, so David Price should be the hottest commodity out there, and I would expect that he'll be seen as such by teams that are looking at pitching, which is pretty much everybody.
Stuff coming out of Oakland, given they traded again. I thought I was seeing an old headline that the A's traded for Jed Lowry, but there's talk now that Brett Laurie may be moved very quickly from Oakland. Almost that talk comes about a year after the Donaldson for Laurie plus trade. Would you see Oakland potentially doing that? Are there a lot of great landing spots for him? It's, again, nothing he did, but they like Jed Lowry and know what he's like.
Yeah, and I don't know that you can have a Lowry and a Laurie on the same
That's
team.
Very so play by play. You know, very confusing.
Yeah, I mean, there are enough people that call him Brett Lowry as it is. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, there are a lot of people who I respect out of Oakland who are saying that it's not unlikely that Brett Lowry gets moved. And he can help a lot of teams. He's young. He plays third. He plays second. He's an exceptional defender. We all know what Brett Lowry is. I would imagine that there will be a lot of people interested. But then again, you know, maybe the A's just move him to second and put him there. Danny Valencia,
yeah.
And, you know, for Danny, that would make it, what, 8 teams in 4 years, which would be very interesting.
Yeah, I thought about that with Valencia being there, and I mean, that's how it got for Oakland. Susan Slusser wrote about their roster overhaul and described it as an utter disaster. It couldn't have gone, and Billy Beane might have known there'd be some bumps moving Donaldson, but the way it worked out for Toronto, the way it worked out for Oakland, it couldn't have been in his crystal ball 12 months ago. Could not have been.
Absolutely not. But, I mean, he knew Josh Donaldson was going to come here and have a great year, I assume. That the likelihood was that Donaldson was going to have a great year, but Oakland's a playoff team last year. I'm sure he didn't expect what happened to the A's to happen.
We need Brett on arrival, though. We need him on the Yankees. How about that Kansas City Royals team and a rematch in the ALCS, but Brett Laurie's on the Royals? Well, that's what we want.
He's a really good baseball player.
Yep.
I don't know why you would want him going to a team you're trying to beat.
We like stories. The stories are kind of fun. If David Price is John Farrell going to the Red Sox instead of the San Diego Padres made that more interesting, not less interesting, right?
Yeah, but you know what? How about Laurie goes to the White Sox where he can't hurt anybody?
Oh, that White Sox-Blue Jays wild card game, though, at U.S. Cellular could be damaging. Hey, we got a blast. Thanks for spending some time, and I'm glad Pitch Talks went so well last night.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
Love London, Ontario. Mike Wilner joining us on Brady and Walker. All right, no time for two more things. Thanks very much to everyone for joining us. Antonio Freeman was on the show. Elliot Friedman, no relation to Antonio Freeman. Sherm Hamilton, Randall the Handle, and everybody for joining us today. We never get a chance to because we're all yapping all the time. Thanks to Danielle. Thanks to Gore. Thanks to Lance. Thanks to JD. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Big show. Warren Moon, the Terrible 10. Enjoy your Thanksgiving football. Panthers, Cowboys, 4 o'clock, Sportsnet. See ya.